Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The ride of your life is Eddie Hood.
For those of you who cannot wait and love Daddy Hood, please head over to our Patreon. We have exclusive access to episodes. We have early access to episodes, and we have behind the scenes footage. Head on over there, sign up, be part of the exclusive Daddy Hood group, and join us over there. Welcome back. This is a continuation episode of part two with California Cryobank. I am with Sydney and Carrie, and part two begins now. California Cryobank.
Yes.
Let's get into it, because the work you're doing, as someone who has been through this, but not really in this angle, you are doing something different and needed and important, but also in such an efficient way. So let's talk about your experience. I don't know who wants to go first, but just when you first joined California Cryobank and obviously the parent company, Cooper Surgical, you know, what made it different?
So many things. I mean, I was thinking before too, even, you know, Rebecca on our team, she was pregnant when she interviewed for her job and didn't tell them until, you know, the people she was interviewing with. Until before she signed the offer letter, she said, I have something to tell you. And she had been agonizing about it. I'm pregnant. And her boss at the time said, amazing, when are you due? And just wanted to talk about the baby versus the, oh my God, what are we going to do, right? Yeah. Cooper Surgical purchased or acquired California Cryobank, Donor Egg Bank USA, Cord Blood Registry, all a few years ago. And we were a little nervous, people who had been with our companies longer before that. And we have such a shared mission and value system. It has been such a relief. The mission of Cooper Surgical is healthy women, babies, and families. And I think they've articulated exactly what our brands stand for as well. Yeah. And so, you know, going back to California Cryobank, a big part of our mission is to bring the use of donor sperm and the donation of donor sperm out of the dark. We want, and really donor gametes altogether, right? It applies to Donor Egg Bank USA as well. People have been ashamed, afraid, didn't know how to talk about it, didn't know that that access was there, didn't know that there were ways to make it more affordable. You know, we're still, it's not affordable. You know, let's just be very clear, but there are ways that that can be supported. Financial plans and some insurance, like we're talking about, will has moved to cover it, but make it not a dirty thing. And that's what we're trying to do.
And transactional. Yeah. I mean, like there are definitely parts that feel transactional and you have to get through that. But as a whole, to have that feeling of connection and the emotional connection, not just the business and professional connection, is so important.
Our client services representatives, they're managers, magic. Oh my gosh. So empathetic, so excited. Yeah. So, I mean, at Donor Egg Bank USA, there were pictures all over the wall in the kitchen at the office of all the babies that they helped create. And, you know, it's tough. We have tough jobs, you know, through the operations team and legal and, you know, there's all that, the research, the labs, the cryopreservation.
Yeah.
There's all this stuff that we got to do and red tape to work through. But the fact that at the end of the day, we're creating babies, families like ours.
So
special. They are ours.
What, and I think I know some of the answers to this, but what differentiates California Cryobank from other sperm banks out there?
So I'm going to speak to that because I don't just work at California Cryobank. I was a family of California Cryobank before I got this job. So I had to do the research, right? I had to look at all the different sperm banks that were out there. California Cryobank came recommended to me by a family friend who are my parents' age, who have kids who are a little bit younger than me, who are donor conceived from California Cryobank. So California Cryobank has been around for over 45 years.
Wow.
Okay, they are an industry leader. They are number one in the U.S. I'm sorry, if I'm going to build my family, you best believe I'm going to the number one place.
Right.
I love that the name is a little misleading. California Cryobank, we ship to all 50 states. We ship to over 40 countries. And while we do, so I think that the fact that we're kind of spread out around the world was a piece of reassurance for me that we're not just like this tight little bubble in California having all of these families and making all these babies. I really appreciated that. Carrie touched on the client services team. Man, you're talking to a person and you know you're talking to a person when you call them. Even now as an employee, when I have to reach them to have them help another family, I'm excited. I'm like, you're going to be talking to the best person. I could say that without any doubt.
Yeah.
Our donors, we have one of the largest and most diverse donor catalogs.
That's another thing we should talk about.
Oh, donors. I have it. Trust me, yeah. I have it on here because it's important for many, many reasons.
Yes.
And we'll get into that. Yeah. Sorry, I don't want to.
We had lots of I think learning opportunities because of COVID and the pandemic that happened. And I love how many locations we have for our donors to donate. I love that as of 2018, all donors have to be ID disclosure. That means when a donor-conceived child hits 18, if they want information, California Cryobank will release the identifying information we have on that donor, period. There's you are an ID disclosed donor.
Yep.
Anonymity is a thing of the past.
And the donors have been educated and counseled and, you know,
they go through a crazy vetting process. Well, look, I don't know that I would pass.
Even if they wanted to remain what they call anonymous, there's other ways for it to get out. Like the technology in our society today with 23andMe, Ancestry.com, all of these other DNA services, there is no more anonymity.
So tangent. When I was pregnant with my first donor-conceived baby, our safe week to share with the world was around Mother's Day. How cute, two new mommies. That weekend, I remember my dad coming home. I was living with my parents because we were expecting a child, and obviously that's what you do.
Yeah.
It's LA. It's expensive here.
Yes. Yes.
My dad goes, I just got some news. I don't know how mom's going to take it. I'm sorry, what? My dad had forgotten, like so out of sight, out of mind, so my dad's personality. He was a sperm donor many years ago while he was in dental school in New York. What he also forgot was he was already dating my mom at the time, and she knew and was really excited because she was in social work school, is now an analyst, and was like, this is the coolest thing ever. How did he find this out? Well, he had done 23andMe when his father died to learn more about our family ancestry. It's not that exciting. We're Ashkenazi Jews.
Yeah.
But he forgot that he kept his notifications on. And when he went into his portal, there was two 50% matches.
Wow.
Not one, two.
Yeah.
I'm imagining that's what it's like when you figure out you're having
twins. Wait, have you signed up for this platform?
I have.
Okay, so you were one.
No.
Oh,
I only signed up afterwards.
Yeah. It gets better, Colton.
I have three. There's me and my two brothers.
I'm loving this, but also like this is like, this could be a reality for me to like from what we're going through.
This is a reality for a lot of people now.
Yes.
It's the new thing that's happening. Fast forward. There are six of them.
Wow.
We've all met. That year we met. My dad's like, well, I have to meet them. We consider each other bio sibs. So that's the name.
Yeah.
My mom's name is Briar. So they call my mom, Mama B. We've had family reunions for the last 5 years. We've been to each other's weddings.
So beautiful.
Isn't it beautiful?
That's so beautiful. And like one thing with this too, like I love talking about, I mean, yes, you are technically family too, but I love like even chosen family. Like you are choosing, you are actively making a choice to pursue a relationship with family and biological material, but also like I love just talking about chosen family as a whole because it doesn't have to be blood either.
It's amazing.
That's so cool that you were so intentional with that.
What's really cool is one of my sisters has what her mom had when she chose my dad as a donor, the information she got. It was an 8.5 by 11 typewriter piece of paper front and back.
No picture.
No picture. They knew my dad was Jewish. in dental school and played the saxophone, which is the funniest thing. Because he's played the saxophone though, like twice in a
row. As someone who had to go through bios of women to make choices.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, one, I couldn't imagine just doing about an 8x10 card of just like that. But like, obviously, like saxophone, like all those little things start adding up into your decisions.
They do.
So yep. It's so funny that those are like the three things
and
he
leaned
on.
And the requirements back then were like you had to have a certain like GPA and be STD free. Like there was that not, was yeah. That was 35 years ago.
Those were the two hoops you had to jump through.
Right.
Which look, I am an advocate. There is no right or wrong in this entire process. It is so personal. There's so many emotions. I think in fertility, we need to remove our judgment and saying how judging people how they want to build their family. Yeah. If you're paying the amount of money you're paying, and if you are building your family and making all of these choices, you should make all of the choices that you feel is best for your family.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think like that is important. You know, as you know, being part of the LGBTQ plus community, we can sometimes be the hardest on our own people.
Yes.
Which is hard. And I think the same needs to be said for fertility is we should not cast judgment. Even if there is privilege and champagne problems happening, smile. Right. You're creating family. They're intentionally expanding their family and putting humans into this world. And those are the type of people I think need to be making humans.
Exactly.
Is the ones who are excited to be moms and dads and raise beautiful, great children. So
And
I'll get off my soapbox now.
Well, we get to be grateful that there are options because, you know, quite honestly, we still have anonymous donors on our catalog and on the sperm on California Cryobank and also Egg Bank, Donor Egg Bank USA, because that's really all that's available industry standard wise. Is so many women, it's hard to find egg donors because of what's involved in it.
Right.
And then it's harder to find, you know, donors who are open to disclosing their identification.
Well, one thing I want to hit on because it was so evident to me after doing my research on California Cryobank is it actually is not a standard in sperm banks to upload adult pictures of the donor. Yeah. And I think most people are like, wait, what do you mean? Because I had, when I was looking for my egg donor, access to 12 photos. And we could request more. We could request videos. Wow. Most people who are seeking out sperm donors get a baby picture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Why? Just like flat out why?
I think historically, it's been harder. It was hard to find sperm donors and to get all that information from them. You know, we...
So by protecting them, you were hoping more would sign up.
Exactly. It's always a fine balance, right? We are always working with our operations and our donor operations team to say, like, these are all the things that intended parents are looking for. Like, this, we want all the information.
Yep.
And they're like, okay, if we do that, you know, it's harder. You got to chase these guys. Like, you know, and so it's harder. They're also these men are making a serious decision and a serious commitment. It's not just about the making up to $1,500 a month, right?
Yeah.
It's about what happens next. And so we go through great lengths to educate them, counsel them, beyond all of the health screenings, right? So, as time has gone by, you know, you cryopreserve sperm and it's there forever, right? as time has gone by, we have expanded our requirements. So in our catalogs, you know, you still might find some older profiles that, again, it doesn't mean anything about the sperm quality, but we don't have a consistent library of information.
Things change. Science changes. Standards change.
Exactly.
Oh, the information, when we reported our pregnancy, I was mailed a jump drive of my donor's information.
Wow.
I mean, now it's a digital. I mean, that's how much things have changed in 5 years.
It.
Yes. But I know more about my donor, his parents, his sister, his aunts and uncles, and all 4 grandparents. I know all of their medical history.
Yep.
I don't know about that, my own family, and they're all living in right here in my backyard. I mean, I know my donor's SAT score.
Let's talk about how important that is. And I want to get into diversity, but before that, I do want to talk about your screening process.
Mm-hmm.
As someone who is a huge mental health advocate who had diagnosed acute, you know, depression and anxiety for a situation, which is more common. I don't have like a longstanding family history of mental health issues, but I do think it is important to talk about the screening process and disclosure for people of saying like, hey, I had, you know, if I was to consider being a sperm donor, I would have to disclose, hey, you know, I have been through depression and anxiety, and here's why. And this is what I was diagnosed with and when. And this is when I stopped medications.
It's a really important topic. And especially right now, right? After 2020, who doesn't have anxiety, right? Who hasn't dealt with depression?
2020 was a year, man.
Yes, it really was. It was a very long year.
Yeah. We were planning a wedding in 2020 also.
I was in the closet in 2020. And that was my year where I was like, wait, what am I doing?
What's going on with,
why am I doing this to myself?
So we go through, you know, it can't be a check the box. Have you ever had anxiety? And it's like this Scantron thing, right?
Well, I would imagine most people would check that box. Yes. Like, yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. It's what's around it. And that's what our counselors are trained to do, is to really dig into, you know, with all of our potential donors, you know, what does that look like? You know, how was it handled? Where are you now? What does that extended family history look like? Like Sydney said, you know, we dig really far back into your own, you know, immediate family, and then parents, grandparents, health, you know, and there's some things, again, like our grandparents probably had stuff that we didn't know about.
And I think this part's always really hard for me, right? Like, I think what solidified it for Britt and me is all of our donors are screened by a clinical psychologist. Everybody has to meet with them. So it's not just like, you look good, you sound good. There's a real deep conversation that's being had. It's not just a quick, like, walk in the door, leave. So, which made it actually harder for me to figure out who our donor should be. Again, I'm a little bit more emotional. They're all really good. They wouldn't be donors with us if they weren't. So I didn't really feel like I could go wrong. Now on the work side of it, and getting to work with all these families that I get to help pick their donors and go through this process, when you come down to genetics and finding the right person and what are they into, and I think we provide our Express Yourself is magic. Our donors are given an opportunity to quite literally express themselves, whether that's a song they wrote, a poem they wrote,
that's
a recipe.
Awesome.
Really cool. We have a new donor that just dropped today that Rebecca is in love with, so don't tell Josh. He shares in his Express Yourself a family recipe, his family's fettuccine Alfredo recipe.
Like via video or?
Like it's handwritten.
Our donor
has a recorded conversation that got shared with us so we could hear his voice, which is what I fell in love with. Every person you ask is going to give you a different answer of how they kind of made their little formula to find their donor, which is my favorite thing to ask people.
It humanizes it. That is exactly, you know, when you're going through this lot, it is, for us, it was labeled with letters and numbers, and that was the name.
Yeah.
And then it's like, once you actually get that human connection, it's so powerful, and it makes your decision. I mean, I'm assuming it made you were, as soon as you heard that, you were like, this is it.
We I mean, also Britt, she just was like, here he is. Great.
Yeah.
I was like, that works for me. And it's worked for us. I love the things that California Cryobank offers. I mean, it's just the staff impression. So every donor has a staff impression, which
very cool.
I love. And
those little touches mean a lot.
It's a real person. Met the other real person.
It humanizes it. When you first came to us and you said that it's about humanizing this process, like, duh. That's exactly what we've been doing. And you just put the word, it was so simple. We've done everything we can.
You guys are the epitome of humanizing a very black and white statistical based process.
Exactly.
And what everything you're laying out right here, I'm like, this is what needs to be the industry standard for everything fertility.
It's so true. I mean, you can call our client services team and say, I'm overwhelmed. I don't know who to choose. I don't know where to start. And they will literally sit with you on the phone and, okay, pull up the website. Let's go. Tell me what you're looking for. They'll suggest different donors.
I think what I love is, like, Brian Hyde is my...
amazing.
Who's Brian?
He's our the head of our client service team. And
at California Cryobank.
Okay.
He is... I don't have a word for a human like that. But he is a dad of three, and he's just like, oh yeah, he's super cute. You definitely want, like, he's so in it. He is your biggest cheerleader. Yeah. He's your biggest champion. Him and his team are, I just keep using the word magic because it's as close to Disneyland as you get. And
I love this.
It's the Disneyland of it, we want to make it fun.
Disneyland of sperm and eggs. Yes. Sorry.
That's where magic happens.
Where magic quite literally happens.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, I, and that's just the sperm side, right?
Yeah.
Then California Cryobank went great. We need a private place where our families can now connect on a donor sibling registry that's free to join. It's not, you don't have to join it.
Yep.
That's another reason why to report your pregnancy is because then you can get access to this.
Yeah.
So anybody who's used
community.
That donor
exactly.
community.
If yep. you want it, that's the other thing. It's an yeah. option. Some
and
people.
And you can join at whatever time. You don't,
more...
it's not like there's a window.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My wife and I only recently joined like a year ago.
Yeah.
And our oldest is 5. And we've connected with a few families, one of which I text with, like we've connected and I was like, why would I not want to do this when I've already had that opportunity with my bio siblings?
Right.
And I wish I'd known about them earlier.
Right.
We like my whole life, I've asked my parents for an older brother and they're like, that's not the way it works. They lied. I have 2 older brothers now.
It can yeah. happen.
So we have that. We have our cord blood advantage program with our other sister company, cord blood registry. So you can preserve your baby's newborn stem cells and
yeah.
we give it to our expecting families. You get our processing and shipping and first year of storage for free. We have our family today, family tomorrow. So you buy a certain amount of vials, you get free storage.
Wow.
Because we know not everybody's on the same, you know, path
timeline.
And
yep.
who knows how long it'll take to conceive 1 or 2
but
or 3.
But also that helps with our conversation before is the way that fertility should be viewed is as preventative medicine.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that lens of being able to store and freeze and have a plan that actually works for you. Because
yeah.
you are talking... When you are at your reproductive healthiest, I will
mm-hmm.
say that because there are always exceptions.
Sure.
You
yeah.
know, you are not always the most financially secure.
Exactly.
So
I
that's
had to
like
find $17,000.
That's
freeze
a double edged. That's the sword that a lot of people are like, wait,
I don't
you're telling
it.
Me like right now I'm healthy, but like I just have I have student loan debt. I have
yeah.
I'm like entering the workforce.
Yep.
You don't have a lot of resources at your fingertips.
Yeah,
that's true. It's true. But you know, I was committed to finding a way.
Yeah.
Put it on a credit card and, you know,
people
figured
can get
it
creative
out.
When,
exactly.
when they want to have families, they can. But I think it is absolutely beautiful
that
you work with people.
Yeah.
That's different and not often found.
Yeah.
I think that's also one thing that people don't realize is
mm.
there are different, you know, my doctor put it so bluntly to me. He goes, what I need you to understand is you are my patient. But so is your egg donor and so is your surrogate.
Mm.
I have 3 patients to give you your family. And I was like, oh, wait, yeah, that's true. And you guys in a way too have to service many different aspects
yeah.
of the process.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're balancing the well-being
of all of them.
All of them.
Yeah.
yeah.
Which is a challenge.
Finding that best
job.
Interest too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
has to be challenging.
Yeah. yeah.
Well, I want to get into this. I want to get into diversity for many reasons. One, for couples. And I think it's important, you know, obviously I think you guys know the answer, but like, why is it important for California Cryobank to have a diverse catalog of sperm?
Because that's the needs. That's how we service the needs of the world.
Our diverse families.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like the world is not a cookie cutter place, right?
Right?
It's, we don't all look alike or sound alike. And we want to be able to offer what people are looking for. The challenges have been, it's basically misconceptions mm-hmm. that have limited the choices and the options for people. And that's a big part of what we are trying to do on the donor recruitment end of things, is educate our potential donors so that they understand,
yeah.
you know, the reality of being a donor, you know, in every aspect.
Yeah.
Right. You know, in the Black community specifically, it's
yep.
been a major challenge to find Black donors. And part of that is the misconception. Young Black men don't want to continue this idea that Black men are not present fathers. Mm-hmm. And so many of them shy away from wanting to be donors because they don't want to keep that stereotype, you know, wrongly continuing.
Yeah.
And so that's part of it, is the education of like, that's not what this is, right?
Yep.
That's not what this is about. There are Black families that want, they have every right to have children that look like them if that's what they want.
Yeah.
Right? That's, it's, you know, that's what we all want, right? Is for, well, I shouldn't even say that. Everybody wants different things.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right? When on the egg side of things, for me, I was looking for more of a, someone who looks like me and had my heritage so that I would have, you know, see what that mix would look like with my husband.
And that's the most common.
Yeah.
Right. So they want their kids to represent them, especially for same sex and also straight and heterosexual couples as well. They want them to resemble their family unit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because I think naturally you want to reduce risk of bullying and the well-being of your children. And you don't want them, you just want to protect them.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And if you can do that by looks and appearance and making it feel like a family unit, you're going to do that.
Yep.
Yeah.
I know that was a decision that we made, and we were intentional with who we were selecting and why we were selecting that person.
I mean, to be quite honest, the donor selection process was very challenging for my husband and I.
Yeah.
I had to grieve a loss for a while as we looked at all of these different profiles, because that's what I was doing, was looking at it like, who's replacing me and my genetics? And my family is very close. And so I was really, you know, my maiden name is Sweka, right?
Yeah.
And Polish. And so I very much identify with Polish.
We were Zajewski.
Oh, really?
My mom's maiden name is Zajewski.
Yes.
So we're Polish too.
Yes. And so that was very important for me to find a donor that was Polish.
Incredible.
And I'm Polish, half Polish.
Yeah.
And then the other half, Irish, German, and Swiss.
Yeah.
We found a donor that's two of the four. So I was like, okay, then I could do this. And the other thing, it's a thing.
And that makes it easier. It makes your loss and the grieving process easier when you find that diversity and that cohesiveness.
Right, right. And so my other thing was on my mom's side of the family. So my dad's side's Polish. On my mom's side, we all have the same nose. And it sounds silly, but like my cousins, like
nothing is silly in fertility. You are very intentional in what you're going through.
Yeah.
I'm a big advocate for this because you're spending so much money. You're so intentional in what you're doing. You might as well make all of the decisions that you can make that are important to you.
Right.
And it looks different for everybody.
It does.
So if a nose is your biggest thing, the nose is your biggest thing.
Yeah.
For me, it was height. I wanted a taller donor because I don't know. I liked being a tall kid, and I like Jordan and I are both. I'm 6'3". He's 6'2".
Yep.
We just sort of wanted that.
For us, it was blood type.
Oh wow!
So interesting.
We wanted our donor to have mine or Britt's blood type. I don't know if there's science behind it, but we wanted, if God forbid our kids needed anything, and we wanted to be the first.
Yeah, I think going back to the diversity thing too, and especially I know from my Black community and my friends in that community, is there's overall too a stigma and a distrust with our medical services.
Yes.
In the history.
Huge. Yep.
And I think that's important to call out. And like, I know we're three white people sitting here talking about it, but I just know from my community and my friends, that is a very real thing that is not often talked about, but has to be just acknowledged, is there is a history that is not great to that culture and that community that also plays a factor into their decision to not want to be a part of it. So I totally hear you. And I think, you know, for anybody out there listening that is considering being a donor, the beauty in it, beyond just giving the gift of life to somebody, is you're presenting an opportunity for like a family unit to possibly be formed.
Yeah.
I think that, and you're giving people options.
Yeah.
Where sometimes it doesn't feel like you have a lot.
Yeah. And we are still very much struggling to build specifically our the Black donors in our catalog.
Yeah.
We don't have enough. And, you know, we're partnering with different organizations in terms of recruiting and getting the word out there. We've made major, I think strides in just in terms of like the numbers of applications that we've gotten.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's also the Hispanic community that we're really reaching out to. We partner with the LA Galaxy, Major League Soccer team. And one of the this just really stuck with me. It was heartbreaking. We've done, you know, some research on diversity, trying to understand what those barriers are. Mm-hmm. And in the Hispanic community, one of the learnings was that they felt like we wouldn't want someone like them. Mm-hmm. And it really stuck with me, like, okay.
Well, especially from a marketing brand, I can assume you're like, wait, are we messaging wrong?
Exactly. Like, we need to step back and look at everything we are doing to make sure we are not reinforcing that misperception, misconception. Let's get that wrong. Yeah. You know, and really just change the way we are talking to people and how, you know, the messages that we're sending.
Well, we're a partner with Family Equality. I don't know if you're familiar with the organization.
We're partnered with them for several years.
I was going to say, I definitely think there could be a conversation you can have with them just to help with messaging and also just community turnout from different cultures and different backgrounds and ethnicities. So anytime I get a chance to talk about the work that they're doing for not only the LGBTQ+ community, but just like family building.
Yep.
I love plugging them because they're our nonprofit partner in this too. Of like, we just
want to wonderful.
Amplify their messaging, amplify their mission, and what, you know, James Black, the CEO over there, is doing such a great job with the organization. So I always love talking about them too.
That's amazing.
So, and I'm so glad that you guys are partners with them too.
Yeah, we do webinars for many years now.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. So
they're incredible and great. This question's for you because you've been through it. Uh-huh. Let's talk about the process. So someone out there right now is interested in becoming a sperm donor and or going about selecting a sperm donor for their family building. What does that look like with California Cryobank? How do they begin? Where do they find more information?
Yeah. Step number one is to go to cryobank.com. And step number two is to create an account with us. And you get access to our entire donor catalog. The advice I was given when Britt and I were starting this many years ago, and everybody has, again, their own way of doing it, was for each of us to create our own lists of must-haves or must-have-nots.
Yes.
And then to come together and look to see what bleeds together. Mm-hmm. And that's how we kind of created our ideal donor. And from there, we opened up every single profile. We had like, I think back then we had like over 500 donors. I mean, it was...
I remember this though because we had at one point 20 tabs open.
Yes.
And we were shuffling through
it
all
was,
of ours.
And like that's how my brain works. So that's how many tabs were in my brain. It was a lot.
Yeah.
So we opened, by the time we narrowed everything down, we had less than 12.
Wow.
And we just went straight to their medical history and their birth year.
Mm. Why the birth year?
We wanted somebody relatively close to our age.
Okay.
So that when our child turns whatever age they turn, obviously we think it's appropriate to be having a kid at our age. We happen to choose someone who's born the same year as us.
And I love going down little holes.
Yeah.
Do you happen to know what the oldest age donor you have in your system right now?
I don't. That's very interesting.
I think I would go with a different, like if I was to do this, I would be like, I would love to try to find a donor that was like one of the earlier freezed, like just from a different, you know, generation.
Different time.
Because I think that'd be such a cool counter. Anyway, getting way off the topic here.
Once it's frozen, it's been frozen in time. But we didn't want someone.
Yeah.
Which is so interesting to say that out loud right now. Because I didn't know about my dad yet.
Wow. Yeah.
And yet we were already thinking what happens when our children turn whatever age.
Yeah.
And they want, if they want a connection with the sperm donor we used. I didn't want him to be too old. I also didn't want him to be too young. Mm-hmm. I wanted it. Obviously, not if life goes according to plan, however it goes for each person. But that was like more of the logical, ish. I felt like there was a little bit, I don't know, just kind of.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Intentional though. Like like people have their own processes of how they want to go through this. I love that you had your decisions and what was important to you.
But look, I get to, you know, we do these Instagram lives once a month where I host, or my colleague will host, with families, mostly families that have used our cryobank. And I spoke to somebody, she was on her, she was pursuing parenthood on her own.
Yeah.
And the way that she chose her donor is she just listened to all of our donors' recordings as if it was a podcast.
Wow.
And she wanted the one that she connected with the most.
Huh. I love people have...
Why does that sound brilliant to me?
I mean, people are smart and innovative, and they know how
I'm like
to get it
that's
done.
That's really
genius.
Mm-hmm. Like, wow, I wish I would have known that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
it's incredible. So this is for both. This question is for both of you. Not just California Cryobank, but what do you think needs to change or improve in the fertility landscape? Or that you hope
the
just gets better?
The whole fertility landscape?
Yeah. Outside, and it doesn't have to be specific to sperm donation or egg donation. Just I think like, what is your, like, if you zoomed out and you're like, nah, I wish we could improve here, here, and here. What would that look like for you?
I think the beginning is that education.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sex ed isn't about getting your period or learning how to put a condom on. Right? You go to school learning how not to get pregnant because that's what sex ed is. And then you go to have sex to get pregnant. And obviously I'm speaking more to the heterosexual community, and then you don't get pregnant.
Right.
So that I think needs to change.
The scare tactic in sex ed, I can agree with you on that.
Coupled with fertility health as a whole, right? Yep. For men, what do you need to do to preserve your fertility? For women, access and resources so that you have the financial means to do that. If you're struggling, student loans, if you're 23, you're like, I mean, yeah, that's a smart choice, but how do you make those smart choices when you're 23?
Right.
How? Right. So I think we need more education, more resources, both educational and financial. And I think more of this, I think the more we talk about it, it's not a dirty word. It's not this should be a celebration at a certain point. I do think for some people going through this, there is a moment and a period of having to mourn your own DNA or your own, like, that's what it should have been. And it wasn't, for, you know, same sex couples too, that, you know, I'm a healthy young female using good sperm. Why didn't it take? Right. Like, sometimes I think, again, personal thought, I feel like it's just kind of survival of the fittest. Like, if it was that woman and that man out in the wild, they just wouldn't mesh.
Yeah.
You just need to find a new donor.
Yeah.
But I think, again, being able to think outside of the box during your fertility peak when you're young and being able to kind of plan for the future, but also keep it liquid, like, that's a lot to juggle.
It is. And it's stressful. And really the number one rule in fertility is you want to eliminate stress. It's so easy for people to say.
It is.
Like, just don't be stressed.
What does that even mean now?
I was like, what do you want from, where do we go?
And then there's people who have secondary infertility.
Yeah.
So then they're trying and they have a kid at home.
Right.
Which is stressful in itself. And then don't be stressed while trying to do all of this.
Yeah.
I think when I was going to acupuncture to try to reduce stress during the whole time leading up to our embryo transfer, and the acupuncturist said to me, you know, what you're doing right now is creating a space, right, for a child to pick you.
That's beautiful.
And that was like, that really changed things for me.
That'd be healing.
It was. I was like, okay, like, that I can control.
Yeah.
There is such a loss of control in this whole process for anyone who's involved in any sort of fertility journey. And to be able to think, okay, like, we watched funny movies and I got a massage and, you know, I did these things and now it's up to that child to pick us.
Yeah.
To pick his or her home.
Every time you say that, I'm getting full body chills.
Yeah. But that's what...
And he did.
That's
he
what
did.
Jordan and I really are trying to do right now is practice gratitude. Yeah. We have a lot to be thankful for. It's so easy for us to nitpick and say, this was hard on me. But also, like, we have it easier than a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And we need to have that perspective. We also just need to have the perspective that it's our journey. It's our story.
Yeah.
And this is... When you own it and you let it go and you take it for what it is, it does shift and it does change your perspective on it.
It does. But you get to be happy. You get to be sad. You get to grieve, right? You get to do all those things on the schedule and the timeline that work for you.
Yeah.
That was a big learning for me too.
Fertility isn't linear. Family planning isn't linear.
Yes, yes, yes.
Grief isn't linear. Life isn't linear. So I think to remember that and to be able to kind of come back to that, you know, my wife and my kids, every night we now do rosebud and thorn at the end of the day.
Love rosebud and thorns.
And now my kids like do it. Well, not Zoe.
Is your bud what they're exciting about?
Yes.
About? Okay.
Yeah.
We do the same.
And my older daughter who's 5 makes up a rosebud and thorn for my 1-year-old.
Love that.
That's sweet.
Which is adorable.
She's very empathetic.
She is. My son, who's three, says the same thing every single day. So he's not quite there yet, but it's a practice.
Right.
And every Friday at Shabbat, ever since I was like, gosh, like my daughter's age, we would always go around the table and say what we're grateful for. Yeah. Like it is a line in the sand. There's a lot of noise in our world.
Yeah.
And how do you get back to your roots? How do you get back to your family? How do you get back to yourself? And to have that moment of gratitude and to have that moment of what am I looking forward to have that thorn, to say, this really like sucked today. I didn't like it.
Yes, yes, yes.
Totally fair. And some of the thorns my kids say, like, they're really good thorns.
Yeah.
That would make me upset too. Like, I don't want to get pushed.
Yeah, you're validating their feelings too.
Always.
Yeah. It's, and emotions.
It's
hard.
It's, yeah.
It's very hard.
Yeah.
So.
And yeah, I think creating that space.
Totally.
But that culture shift is happening.
Yes.
It is. I have such faith in this new generation. I think, you know, as a whole, they're doing so much better of a job at communicating vulnerability, practicing vulnerability amongst many different things.
Exactly.
So before you go, I would love for you to leave us with some words of wisdom and or advice. It could be something that somebody told you. It could be anything. Just lay it out there. Put it out there for our viewers and our listeners.
Can I take what I told you when you were looking for a donor?
Of course.
Okay. Picking a donor is like doing a watercolor painting. It's not an exact, because the perfect donor would be you, right? It would be you and your partner or whoever your dream person is. That person doesn't exist because it's you. So when you're going in to look for a donor, have that grace and have that beauty in what a watercolor painting looks like, right? It bleeds out and it blends and it creates a really beautiful picture when you can step back. Trust the process.
Trust the process. I love a good watercolor too.
You know,
that analogy really helped me when I was choosing the donor, because you get so focused on the details.
The one color.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's to accept, I would say on this journey, accept the support and keep communicating. You know, if it's with your partner, if, you know, you're brave enough to be doing this as an independent parent, you know, choose a friend, choose a family member, whoever it is, to let people in.
Yeah.
Because there are going to be dark days and there are going to be amazing days, and you get to celebrate all the wins.
Yeah.
It's easy to try to, you know, as things that get hard, to not be excited because, oh, it's probably not going to work out, right?
Right.
But you get to celebrate the wins, even if it is just the win for today.
Right.
Yeah.
I love that. Celebrate the wins, find your gratitude and practice it. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you both for joining me as humans, but then also as representatives from an incredible, incredible company. For anyone out there that is looking or interested in donating their sperm and or going through the family building process as a whole, please visit California Cryobank. It's cryobank.com. And then also Cooper Surgical has a lot of companies underneath its roof that are very beneficial to families as a whole. So I would encourage you to do your research, see where you're at in your journey, and find what works for you.
Yeah. And if you're looking for an egg donor, donoreggbankusa.com.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
That is Daddyhood.
The experiences and stories shared in this podcast are personal to the speakers based on the time that they were building their families. They may not reflect the experiences others have or will have in relation to donor preference, benefit coverage, cost of service, and timeframes. The ride of your life is Daddyhood.